All right, welcome back to the San Francisco Giants pregame show. Our guest today, as usual, you can hear him Monday through Friday on the leadoff spot. Let's welcome in Adam Copeland this afternoon. How are you doing today, Adam?
Hey, what's going on, Bill? How are you, man? I'm good.
Doing great. Beautiful day outside. Listen, I want to throw some numbers at you. When I'm looking at the outfielders for the Giants, you look at Slater at 194. You look at Ruff at 167, Dickerson 172, Dubon 143, Yaz 154, and now you've got Duggar coming in. When you're looking at these numbers are staggering because out of spring training, I would have never thought these guys would have been in a slump, and it's only 13 games. When you look at this, who do you think is going to come out of this hot?
Boy, you know, Mike Ostrzemski is the one who I think everybody looks at and says, we've seen now over two seasons from the time he came up 2 years ago, the 60-game campaign last year, and what we saw in spring, that he's the most likely to play every day and to find success every day. I also think it's not totally surprising that some of these guys have got off to a slow start. Alex Dickerson last year started really, really slowly and then ended up going on a tear. Remember, he had that the big game where he had three home runs in Colorado and a couple of doubles and drove in a whole bunch of runs. I think the Giants put up like 21 runs or something in that game. So I think a bunch of these guys are capable of getting hot. And I know that the pitching has been carrying them, and I think at some point that starting pitching is going to come back to earth. But a bunch of these guys got to start hitting. The other one I was thinking about just yesterday was Wilmer Flores. He's off to a pretty cold start. I think just one hit since opening day when he had a couple of doubles. So, yeah, the Giants need the offense to get going. They need to move the line a little bit. Guys like Longoria have been carrying the middle of the lineup. But I do think Ostrzemski and guys like Dickerson are going to come around sooner than later.
Well, Adam, nice to have you with us today. I haven't chatted with you in a bit. Jackie Robinson week, I always call it. So many nice things happened this week. And you and I haven't had a chance to touch on it. And I had Bob Kendrick on today from the Negro League Baseball Museum.
Yeah.
Because I want to show the shoulders that Jackie stood on when he came to the National League. That he didn't invent baseball. He was a man that came out of the Negro Leagues and was taught how to play baseball. What were your thoughts on that?
About Jackie coming over like from the Negro Leagues to play, you mean? Or like
just
you
both
mean,
of those things, of how he learned and then, of course, coming into the National League. And just your thoughts on the whole week of Jackie.
Well, I love that it's celebrated. And obviously, baseball has decided that, and behind Rachel Robinson as well, has decided that this is something that a light needs to be shined on. And, you know, going back even to last year, we've now opened the door for more things like Roberto Clemente Day, where guys are wearing number 21 because of the great humanitarian he was. But I think it's important to recognize that while we don't have the African-American culture and maybe the number of players in baseball that we had, that Jackie, you know, sort of beat that door down for. I mean, you look back at the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, and maybe the top 50 baseball players, I'd say more than half of them were African-American, that used to be the sport of choice. But he did break down that door for Latin American players as well. And so we're seeing a lot of different cultures and different backgrounds coming over. I think Max Kepler is from Germany, right? So we've got guys from all over the world now who are coming over to play baseball at the major league. And that doesn't happen without Jackie Robinson. But I think it's important also that we shed a light on other guys like Larry Doby, who don't get the recognition because he was number two, and that he, you know, I don't think we think about him having to face the sort of racism that he faced coming in with Cleveland. We think about Frank Robinson taking on the reins as being a manager and being the first black manager in baseball and winning MVPs in both leagues. And so there's all these firsts that Jackie was certainly a fighter for, that he was a champion for. But I think his movement and what it was that he did and taking that on his shoulders, I think, is still felt today because of what we're seeing in baseball. And I think back to, you know, just last year, we're still getting firsts in baseball, you know, long time after Jackie Robinson, and that, you know, Kim Ng is now the general manager of the Marlins and Alyssa Nacken coaching with the Giants. It's just the fact that happened in 1947 and it took us this long to get to some of these other glass ceilings breaking, I think is something that we need to continue to think about. We have to continue to talk about. And I think that it's going to continue to happen, but the race and the gender and the distribution of baseball across the world changed dramatically because of the role Jackie Robinson played in 1947.
Well said, well said.
Yeah, you know what, Adam, you do that very well in your Twitter hits. You really bring out a lot of good points, and people need to listen to you a little bit more on the leadoff spot because you do bring a lot of valuable points about the Secretary of the Nation and what we're going through. Getting back on the Giants, when you look at this Giants road trip, they have three in Miami, three in Philadelphia, then they come home and play four with Miami and three in Colorado. When you look at the schedule, you would think, hey, this is the time the Giants need to double up in runs and double run in wins. What do you see in all this schedule coming up?
Well, yeah, this is sort of a soft start to the schedule. And I think, you know, 8-4 was a great way to start. And it was sure fun being in second place for a couple of days there, right? And Fernando Tatis Jr. comes back yesterday and Padres are off and running. So I do think that, you know, the fact that they get the Marlins again next week and watching them yesterday, the Marlins are kind of a more dangerous team than I sort of thought they were. They're obviously buoyed now by Jazz Chisholm. It sort of brought life to that lineup. They've got some sort of sneaky good pitching. They've already had to make a change at the closer spot. But, yeah, these are games that you sort of feel like, yeah, the Giants should win these games after what we saw they did against Cincinnati. But to your point from earlier, Bill, it's all about the offense. They've got to continue to hit here. The starting pitching has been putting up pretty darn good numbers. The bullpen, while I think some guys may be overused a little early on, we saw Wandy Peralta sort of wear down a little bit yesterday. I do think that this is an opportunity for them to sort of pad the win total here, because you're going to get a whole lot of Dodger games coming up at the end of May and up for the next couple of months, right until you get into the start of September. So you want to sort of beat the teams that are down near the bottom of the league. And while the Marlins are not competing, I don't think, this year for a playoff spot, they were dangerous last year, and I think they know they can make some noise in this league. So this is a game I think that's important for the Giants today before they get on to Philadelphia, obviously, next week. And that's a series Gabe Kapler wants to win and could be a nice little litmus test for the Giants too.
Well, you know, you guys bring up a good point. While all this is going on, the Padres and the Dodgers play seven times starting last night. The Dodgers won that game coming back. It was a crazy game, 4 hours, 57 minutes. But while all this is going on, you know, the doctor gives the prescription for Colorado next week to make you feel better. Let's hope that Colorado's still not hitting because they're coming in again. This is a good time for the Giants to put something together.
Yeah, I'd like to see him get a couple of more wins here. You know, the I mentioned before, I think the starting pitching is going to come back to earth, and I'd like to see some more from the bullpen here. But as far as teams that they're supposed to beat, I don't know what I thought about Cincinnati coming in. I was pretty impressed with the sweep of the Colorado Rockies. But what's also sort of going to come to light here soon, Marty, is how much does the Johnny Cueto injury hurt this rotation? Yeah. Can Logan Webb pick up that spot in the rotation? They already bumped him after just a couple of starts. So I'd like to see some consistency there, and I'd like to see Aaron Sanchez go deep today. I thought he looked pretty good in his first couple of starts, but his last start against Cincinnati there, he was grinded, I think, a little bit, right? I think he had a couple of hit batsmen. He got knocked around just a little bit. So I'm excited to see what the rotation brings, but I don't know how big this Johnny Cueto injury is going to be considering how well he was pitching when he got hurt last week.
You know, Adam, we don't talk enough about this defense. Two errors only so far, one on Belton, one on Longoria. Tell me your thoughts on what about this defense and how can they continue to do this miraculous job with their gloves?
I don't know what it is, because they were. I think it was really concerning in Scottsdale, right? Like, we were talking about, boy, if this is going to be a team that pitches and plays defense, they're going to have a tough time getting some of these outs, and we were concerned about Longoria's foot, whether or not Brandon Belt was going to be able to play. But I think it all hinges really on the infield with Brandon Crawford. He's playing elite defense, it feels like, right now. And I know he had an error on kind of a tough error yesterday on a backhanded play where couldn't get the ball out of his glove. But considering a bunch of these guys are playing in a contract year and maybe playing for jobs after this season, I think Brandon Crawford is you know, still up there as one of the elite shortstops in all of baseball. And I know it's about positioning and it's about where they're setting guys up now and shifts. But that's one thing that I do think is going to stay consistent relative to what we saw last year, which was a lot of poor defense early in the season. And I think that that's part of why this pitching has looked so good, is the defense is picking them up. And a lot of that starts and ends with Brandon Crawford up the middle.
Well, it's the pitchers. I'll tell you that again. Their ERA is terrific. Their hard hit ball rate, we just heard from Mark Simon, is the eighth best in baseball. And yep. If the ball's not being crushed, it's a lot easier to catch it. And that's something that's helped them quite a bit. Now, tomorrow morning, we start at 6 a.m. 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. Now, I'm going to need Adam Copeland to call me and make sure that I'm awake, because you're the only guy I know in the world. You're the only guy that I know in the world that does this so early in the morning. How do you do this every day?
Well, Marty, 6 a.m., I've been up for hours, man. That's a nice, if I can get up then, that's a nice sleep in for me sometimes. So, hey, man, it's all about body clock. And it's about loving to talk baseball. So you tell me to talk baseball at 12 midnight or 6 a.m., Marty. I'll be there, man. I'm down to hang out.
All right, one last thought for you before we go ahead, Bill. Why don't you let everyone know what you got on tonight, and then we'll chat tomorrow about stuff.
Yeah, you know, I'm doing extra innings. Of course, I got Di Sclafani coming out with a nice little conversation I had with him after his last start, not yesterday, in the middle of the week. It was a really good conversation about what he has done so far and what he is enabling to learn from the Giants. And that was one of the things he expressed on the knowledge that the Giants pitching coaches and all the analytics are teaching him. But one little quick question for you, Adam, before we go is Adam Duvall. Here's the Giants had him for many years. Yeah. Really didn't do much, but ever since he's gone everywhere to Atlanta and now Miami, he's hitting the hell out of the ball. You know, tell me your thoughts about Adam Duvall.
Well, it's funny. He's one of those guys who, you're right, he didn't do a whole lot when he was here. And you think about, you know, guys who get away, especially it's really what you get back when you trade those guys. And I want to say he was the guy involved in that Reds trade for Mike Leake. And, you know, if the Giants go on and, like, win a World Series in, what year was that, 2013, maybe they get Mike Leake. If they go on and make a deep playoff run or the trade pays off, then you start thinking, boy, that was a heck of a trade and you got value out of it. But because Mike Leake is now gone by the wayside, the Giants moved on from him and Adam Duvall continues to hit home runs, it's sort of feels like you swung and missed on a guy. He's a guy who I kind of like to root for. He's never really caused a whole lot of pain to Giants fans, I don't think. And he sort of fits the modern day of baseball where he's got that big sort of tomahawk, uppercut swing that he leaves the ballpark with. So he's bounced around. But like I said, the Marlins, they're a little bit dangerous. And so you don't want to leave one like out over the plate against Adam Duvall. So, one of the good power hitters in baseball. But had the Giants, you know, gotten a deeper run with Mike Leake, I think maybe that trade wouldn't hurt so bad.
Adam, great to have you with us. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good afternoon.
All right, Marty, I'll call you at 4 and make sure you're up.
Please do. All right, Bill, have a good afternoon, and we'll chat with you tomorrow morning and listen to you tonight. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
All right, more coming up. As you know, we rotate. I've got the talk back today. Dave Fleming's going to join us right after this.